Now, when we come to chapter 4, we naturally ask the question, what happened to the church? You don't find it from chapter 4 through the rest of the book of Revelation. There's no mention of the church except when you get to the invitation at the end, which is general and hasn't anything to do with the chronology of the book. From here on, you won't find the word church mentioned. Now, up to this point, the word church has occurred again and again. In fact, 19 times. Now, the church goes off the air. No mention of it. And it's gone off the air. Why? Because it went up in the air. It was caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And the church has gone to heaven. That's what's happened to it. And it took place, as I say, during that Philadelphia period, and that thing that continued on was just an organization, and it'll go through the Great Tribulation, and we're finally going to hear it called a great harlot. Boy, is that frightful. That's the most frightful picture in the Bible, is the 17th chapter of Revelation. And we're going to see the church again, yes, but she's not a church. She's a bride. Bride adorned for a husband. So that brings us now to this final division in this book. Now you remember that he had said very definitely, John was given the division of it, and he passed it on to us. We ought not to miss it. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That is, metatautai, after these things. And so when we come here to this book, what do we have? He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. Now, that's the sound of the trumpet that calls the church up, you see. And whose voice is it? The voice of Christ. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What kind of things now? We'll get to that over here in verse 1, but the things that are after these things. Well, after what things? Well, the church. After the church is completed its earthly run and it is caught up, now we're coming to these things, metatautai, after these things, after the church things. Now, will you notice? And I'd like to call your attention here to several striking facts that make it self-evident that we advance to a new division in chapter 4. And the climate and conditions have changed radically. And these are the things which must be hereafter. And they are in the Greek metatautai, after these things. We begin now the last major division of the book. And what happened to the church? Well, it's not in the world. Up to chapter 4, there were 19 references to the church in the world. In fact, the subject of chapters 2 and 3 has been entirely devoted to the church in the world. Now, from chapter 4 to the end of Revelation, the church is never mentioned in connection with the world. The final and lone reference is a concluding testimony after the world's little day has ended. In chapter 22, verse 16, Christ said, you remember, to his own, in John 17, 16, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And he also said, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And now the scene shifts to heaven in chapter 4, and definitely so. And since the church is still the subject, we're going to follow. And where are we going to find the church? It's moved to its new home, heaven. And how did the church get to heaven? That's a good question. Paul gives the answer. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And he defines the operation in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see, faith today places the sinner on the launching pad in the guided missile of the church, and from whence he shall go to meet the Lord in the air. The saints enter the open door to heaven. The church is with Christ. Christ is in heaven directing the events of the great tribulation period that we're going to see when we begin at chapter 6. Now, we have a third striking fact. The church is not a name, but a definition of those who've trusted Christ in this age. Now, this is something that we need to get fixed in our mind, because our thinking today is really muddled. And it's this. The word for church is ekklesia. Kaleo means to call. Ek, out of. It means the church or a group of people called out of the world. Now, when the church arrives at its destination and is called out and arrives in heaven, it loses the name by which it was known in the world, a called out body. And there are other terms now used to describe it. We're going to see it in this chapter as 24 elders, representative of the church in heaven. And then we're going to see the church in heaven as a bride coming down to her new home, the New Jerusalem. Now, the apostate organization, which bears the ecclesiastical terminology, it continues on in the world, and it's not hereafter given a name and title of church either. It's called the Great Harlot. And boy, let me tell you, that's bad. That's frightful. It was the late Dr. George Gill told us one time in class. He says, you know, at the time of the rapture, there are going to be some churches that they're going to meet the next Sunday after the rapture, and they won't miss a member. They'll all be there. Why? Because it's the Church of Laodicea. Now, there's a fourth striking fact. The judgments, beginning in chapter 6, would not be in harmony with the gracious provision and promise that God has made to the church. If the church remained in the world, it would frustrate the grace of God. You see, we have been promised to be delivered from judgment. And then finally, the fifth, to continue on from chapter 3 to chapter 4 without recognizing the break is to ignore the normal and natural division in the book of Revelation, which has been given to us. The things thou hast seen, the things that are, and the things that will be after these things. And the last division here is entered with all of its judgment and wrath, and it's well to keep in our perspective that Jesus Christ is central, and he's directing all events as he brings them to a successful but a determined conclusion. There is in the midst of the throne a lamb, and he's a lamb because he died for the sins of the world, and he's the one that's going to judge.